It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thousands of high school students from hundreds of Wisconsin public and private schools compete in the statewide debate and speech contest. We explore the future of this academic sport in our state, where it's headed. Call in with questions along the way, 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Adam Jacoby is executive director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association. Adam, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's really great to be here.
So a virtual component of the statewide speech and debate competition for high schoolers, that's underway. Last weekend was the in-person event. What are your takeaways from the competition so far?
Well, you know, during COVID, we were really fortunate to be able to pivot to doing all of this online, where a lot of other activities were just shuttered temporarily. And so it's been really rewarding to be able to have that virtual component to give kids flexibility. In the past, if they became ill just before the competition and they had to miss it, it was really heartbreaking for them. And now they have this pathway, or say that they're at the National DECA conference, for instance, they can still pre-record a video of their speech and have it evaluated and earn the awards that they would have if they were in person. But I will tell you, since returning to in-person contests, it's been so rewarding to see the kids interacting with one another. I just, the positive vibe and just the socialization that you're seeing is so important. And I think it's just as important educationally in terms of the social emotional development of young people and getting to meet kids from all across the state, whether you're a young person from Milwaukee and haven't interacted with kids from rural areas in the North Woods or vice versa. It's just really a great experience for kids to kind of hear the lived experiences through their peers from other parts of the state through what they're speaking about or performing.
Let's talk about format. The format is congressional. What is the structure for this debate style? Can you take us into it?
Yeah. So one of the debate styles of many that exist out there, congressional, models the U.S. Congress, but emphasizes the intellectual pursuit of debate. So what happens is kids will write bills or propose legislation. They'll submit those to the contests ahead of time. Then the contest distribute that to all the schools. The kids will research the legislation, both that they've written as well as that comes from other schools. They'll arrive at the meet. They're assigned to rooms where anywhere between 12 and 20 students from different schools will be in a room, and they are called representatives or senators, and they debate issues of national importance. And one of the students in the room is elected the presiding officer, or the speaker of the house, if you will, and they will call then on their peers to give alternating speeches in favor and against each bill that comes up for debate. And then when debate has kind of exhausted, then somebody moves the previous question and they vote, and the bill is either passed or defeated, and then they move on to the next item on the agenda. So it's just a great training ground for both leadership skills, parliamentary procedure, which applies to all kinds of different organizations, and of course, issues of public policy, foreign relations, and those kinds of things.
It has just so many echoes to the real world. What you're saying could literally happen in any state house in the country, or, you know, even on Capitol Hill. It's like hands-on civics, like coming to life.
It really is. And it's similar to some of the other programs like the Junior Statesman and things like that. But it really emphasizes the research of information. And really, we use an argumentative structure that's universal to all formats of debate, including the very popular head-to-head formats that we might be more familiar with that are similar to the presidential style, where you have one side against one side and they just kind of go back and forth. But that's investigating a claim or a position, researching evidence and information to support that position? And most important, perhaps, is what is that impact on the citizenry, on people in general, either in the United States or around the world?
You know, it's just, it's so amazing, too, that these students can do so much within, you know, from each other and collaborating. What are some, you know, types of legislation they may draw up? You mentioned foreign relations. What might be on their minds for legislation?
Well, it runs the gamut. And I will tell you that especially a kid who's starting out really goes for some of those issues that are just very present or popular in the news. So everything from legalizing marijuana for various purposes to helping refugees in Sudan, to sending foreign aid to Ukraine, you know, a lot of those issues that are very prevalent. Of course,
I just want to pause right there. Adam Jacoby leads the Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association. You can join in 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin's debate and speech contests, they're a non-competitive, non-comparative environment for students. And we learn why, and we are going to elevate your questions about debate and speech teams and experiences. 800-642-1234, the number to call. Adam Jacoby leads the Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association, is on the National Speech and Debate Association Board of Directors. Let's bring in Nina now. And Nina, I would imagine you're on the Nina High School fabulous debate team with all of that hardware and all of those titles.
Yeah, I am. It's amazing being on a team with so much experience, and they're so compassionate about this activity, and it's amazing.
What have you appreciated or learned by being part of debate?
In my own specific activity, which is congressional debate, which I believe Mr. Jacoby was talking about before, I've had so much opportunity to hear about tangible impacts that are happening in the world around us and hearing advocates about different policies that are important to different people. And learning about different advocacies has been so interesting to me.
What is the most compelling legislation you've either drawn up or that you've argued on?
Anything having to do with foreign relations and the refugee crisis, specifically in the Middle East. All of those topics were so interesting to me because there's so many ways to approach the issue.
Nina, thank you so much for adding this perspective on the ground. Adam, what comes up for you?
You know, it's what's really interesting right now is as we have a very polarized political landscape, I just love hearing young people like Nina, who I've had the opportunity, the privilege really, to hear debate, that they just really stay issues oriented. Yes, there are a lot of impacts to be had, but you know, there's been a criticism out there that to some extent, as there is in a lot of education, that maybe there's a lot of leftist perspectives in debate. But what I find really telling is if you look at the vast majority of state governments, and that's both state legislatures, governors, and even state Supreme Courts, they're dominated by the Republican Party. And so, and we have a Republican House of Representatives and a conservative majority on the Supreme Court. So right now, the change to the status quo, and that's really what debate and a lot of advocacy across speeches that students write and deliver, is about making change. And so the status quo being more conservative driven really kind of forces the conversation in a more left-leaning perspective. I would say in times when liberals have been in control, a lot of the conversation has trended more conservative because it's the criticism of what is happening currently.
I think this is an important moment to bring up diversity debate. In the past, really catering to white middle-class students have more historically been overrepresented in debate competitions. How is your association trying to change that?
Well, for one thing, we really try to do outreach to schools that are more diverse, and give them discounts and things like that on some of the costs of participating and encouraging that kind of participation. And we also really urge the coaches or the advisors at the school to make deliberate efforts to reach out to students from underrepresented populations and communities, and make sure they have a safe space to participate. And so just as much as our activities are about listening and learning as they are about communicating and sharing, we really emphasize the importance of that safe space, our values that we communicate to our coaches and our students about validating one another, even when you disagree with them, I think is really important. And it's an important skill. And I would tell you that any of the congressional debate students that I've seen, I think I would love to see in real legislatures at some point, because I think they really learn how to separate that personal from the professional and really just kind of keep things issues oriented instead of ad hominem attacks or attacks against other people and their character.
Real lawmakers could draw a lesson here. Adam Jacoby leads the Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association. Call in with your questions, your insights on speech and debate, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So on the heels of the statewide debate and speech contest in person, we examine the Wisconsin community that's connected to this academic sport and the skills that students are acquiring. Call in with questions, experiences to share. The number to call is 800-642-1234. Adam Jacoby is head of Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association with decades teaching in the field of communication and theater. Adam, we want to get your hot take on this. You're seeing artificial intelligence raising, you know, concerns in schools about plagiarism. And we've seen the chat box, like, you know, ChatGPT, asked to write academic papers. Are you concerned at all about students using AI in debates or in speeches?
Yeah, we are. We've had some conversations, particularly in my capacity as a board member of the National Speech and Debate Association, just given the reach there, we've had some conversations. In an activity like debate, where you have to actively listen to and respond to your opponents and be prepared on both sides of an issue, because you never know either which side you'll be assigned to debate, which is another thing that I didn't mention before, is that you have to be mindful and appreciative of the two sides of an issue. But also, even when giving an original speech, one of the things I think that makes a speech so authentic when a young person delivers it is how they explain their personal connection to the topic. You just get a sense that something's not authentic when something like an AI, ChatGPT, whatever it might be, is communicating those ideas for someone. Certainly, there's a lot of power that we're just trying to figure out that AI has in terms of helping somebody understand an issue. And it could be a great tool to help really give kids a deeper understanding of a topic before they take it on. But, you know, we already have rules that require that the speeches that kids give is their own original work. So a lot of the same kinds of approaches that we've had for a long time to plagiarism would apply to AI. It's a matter of figuring out how to catch that and identify it, I think, And that's where the conversation has just begun to center.
Can we pause here for a moment about and look more closely at the nature of how this works in Wisconsin with non-competitive, non-comparative judging and these adjudicators? What sets Wisconsin apart here?
You know, it's interesting. We began as one of the oldest interscholastic organizations in the country for this activity. I believe our colleagues in Iowa may have about 5 years on us. But in the late 1800s, we were competitive. The best, there was a champion, the best in the room was recognized. In around 1930, when the Wisconsin School Music Association was formed, and their festival rating approach to appraising each individual performer or ensemble became an interesting model that I think the leaders of our association took note and decided, well, you know, communication is highly subjective in terms of how we hear it, how we interpret it. And so why not rate each student on their own merits? And that's not to say everyone gets a participation trophy, because that's not it at all. We still have high standards. You know, you have to reach certain thresholds to get different awards, but you're competing more against yourself and your own progress as you go. And I think that's really rewarding for kids. But there's something for everyone. There's another organization in the state that fosters competitive contests. There is certainly the national organization and a national championship. And we heard from one of the students, Nina from Nina High School, who was the national runner-up in the middle school congressional debate. And one of her current classmates or teammates, if you will, won the national high school championship last year in congressional debate. So, you know, those kids participate in both types of contests, and they derive different things from those different experiences. And we train our adjudicators, or what are commonly referred to as judges, to look for those nuances and to make sure that when they're evaluating on our less competitive rating system, that they're really digging deep into a lot of different areas of what we're looking for in terms of standards and skills, so that those kids are learning to meet those particular benchmarks. And I think that's really valuable.
I'm going to reintroduce you here. Adam Jacoby is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association. As we get an inside look at the community in speech and performance, where it goes from here in Wisconsin, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Adam, you shared this video with us, Debate Like a Girl, and I want you to be able to talk about what it signified to you and why it is so memorable as you look at what speeches stand apart in competition.
What I really like about Debate Like a Girl is it's in an event that in Wisconsin we call farrago, which is a fairly archaic word, but it basically means a mixture. And it requires that students pull together a variety of different works of literature, fiction, nonfiction, poetry, prose, dramatic literature, speeches, news articles, and all unified around a common theme or argument. And it's such a dynamic kind of form of speaking. On the national level, it's called Program of Oral Interpretation, because it's like this. It's a program that covers a variety of different things. And Debate Like a Girl literally takes material from the world of debate and bridges it and brings it into the world of speech and creates a platform for criticizing some of the sexism that has been pervasive traditionally in debate, and underscores the importance of underrepresented groups like women in debate to have a voice and to be relevant and to not be tone policed or criticized because of their appearance, or that they're not smiling enough, or a lot of those sexist kinds of things that we often hear about the communication styles of women. And so I think it was just really powerful. And quite frankly, I came from a school, Rufus King High School in Milwaukee, where I both graduated from and then later coached, that was more predominantly female, quite frankly. And so both of the National Speech and Debate Association national champions that I had coached were young women. And so and I consider that a point of pride, particularly in an activity that traditionally was dominated by men.
When students are writing these speeches for competition, how do they balance building off of, you know, major speeches and materials from the past, you know, like MLK, and maintaining their own voice and their own authenticity?
You know, a mentor once told me that the best writer is someone who reads a lot. And I think the best speaker is someone who listens a lot, because they're both forms of literacy, you know, in terms of sharing ideas. And so I think the more that young people draw upon the immense volume of inspiration that's out there, the better they're going to be. And we're hearing that right now with brilliant young leaders who have a voice. And I think of some of the Generation Z activists that we hear out there, and they're speaking a new language in some ways in terms of the slang and colloquial norms that are particular to Generation Z, but they're intersplicing classic rhetoric, and it's just a thing of beauty to hear. And you know, I think of real world examples like certain legislators in Tennessee, and how there's almost a Dr. King quality to the way they speak, but yet they're also drawing upon their own lived experiences in Generation Z today. And it's just such a thing of beauty.
Thank you for that. I want to end here on what schools are doing in terms of enabling students to travel and the competition costs. How are school districts, which are really strapped for resources, how are they doing this?
You know, the model that we do, because in at least in my association, because it's less competitive, is we have a graduated structure of contests, starting at the most local regional level, and then building out from there, you know, slightly larger regions, which, because we were originally a program of UW in Madison, all of our regions originally were centered around all of the 4-year campuses in the state, and then culminating in Madison. And so I think that helps keep costs down at the regional level, because they don't have to travel as far. And also because we just have those 3 contest levels. And we are a sport, and it's important. In fact, right now I happen to be wearing a polo shirt of NFHS, the National Federation of State High School Associations, most well known for their sanctioning and standard setting for interscholastic athletics. But they also do the same for music, speech, debate, and one-act theater and other academic contests. So I think when school administrators and decision makers understand that we're also a sport, and we're a sport for the kids who may not be athletic, that's an important priority, particularly because we build those critical thinking skills and those other things that they want to see from students.
Adam, thank you for joining us.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Adam Jacoby, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Interscholastic Speech and Dramatic Arts Association. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.